Blog Talk Radio.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today, sporting backpacks and they're on their way. Oh, trying to learn the things we like, going to my class, everything's alright. Oh, no one is smart as you, no one is cool as you. No, whatever grade level or type of school, my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together. I'm hoping students that'll shape forever. The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse. I'm singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride, gotta be there all time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I run my class like I know I should. I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood. I thought you understood, I'm the difference in my class for the greater good, yeah. Getting my class to spread the wind, being at school makes me wanna sing, oh. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. We can change the world together. Teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever. I think it's time we change the weather. We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future and the future's gaining speed. If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed. And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up their eyes. I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gotta open up their eyes. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Teacher, I'm a teacher, yeah,
yeah.
You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses.
And we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. You're jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. Oh, class is online, gonna open up the minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher, let me see the way you shine.
Welcome to Season 2 of Teacher Talks. I am your host, Stacey McClam, live on Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international brand sponsored by Beverly Black. This season is sponsored by School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching by Stacey McClam, available on Amazon. We are proud to welcome you to a season of profound discussions with leaders in education, inclusion, and wellness. For those of you who don't know me, I am an educator. I was a teacher for 10 years teaching elementary school. I've taught first grade through fourth grade, but mostly first grade. And I've taught in a lot of places. I've taught in Washington, D.C., Denver, Los Angeles County, and also abroad in Japan and Kuwait. I graduated from law school and hoped in between my teaching career and hoped to work in education reform, but realized that it took too long to change policy. So last year I made the decision to resign from the teaching profession because I felt that I personally could better serve students outside of the classroom by exposing people to the realities that occur inside the classroom involving mental health and childhood trauma and teacher trauma. I have a great respect for teachers and the teaching profession, and during the last year, I have dabbled into filmmaking with the hope of bringing awareness to education issues. So I've completed 3 short films, and that's why I'm very excited to speak to our guest today, Dr. Peggy Logan, who is an actress, but she's also an educator, a poet, and a school counselor. Dr. Logan was born in White Plains, New York, and later moved to Somerton, South Carolina. She graduated from Claflin University in South Carolina, where she majored in English and minored in theater and became certified as a secondary teacher in 1994. She was Teacher of the Year during the 2014-15 school year. She's been a member of different poetry slams, and she is a Calicus evaluator for the state of South Carolina, something that I'm interested in hearing more about. And this permits her to evaluate the mental health needs of children who need counseling from private and state agencies. Dr. Logan, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. It's definitely an honor to be here. So I thank you for having me on this, especially the song. I love the song. I love
the theme. That's what our previous guest said. Thank you so much.
I love that.
It's quite appropriate, huh?
Yes.
The teacher preparing for class. And I know it's Monday for you, so I'm sure you had a busy day getting the kids back up to speed, right?
It's always, it's always productive. I always say that I have a productive day every day. But, you know, on Mondays comes the media, the students talking about how they, a little bit of bullying, a little bit of slight bullying, homework stuff. You know, they're always interested to come in and just kind of talk to me about what's going on at home, what's going on in social media. So Monday's always my most interesting day.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can
see
that.
The weekend gossip.
Mhm. A lot happens over the weekends.
Oh, it does. It does. But the students have access. They have access to me where they can email me. You know, if it's an extreme emergency or they just want to talk. And we've even made it possible now because they can actually text helpline if they really, really need it. But I try to make myself accessible to my students where if they need to get in touch with me, they can always email me and say, "Hey, Ms. Winberg, I really need to, you know, I need to talk to you. Can you call me?" So,
That's good. And so you're teaching theater education for high school currently?
I taught, and I'm a school counselor. I teach theater during the summer programs that we have. So that's the Auntie Karen Foundation. So, but I taught theater, prior to becoming a school counselor. I taught for 10 years theater in our public school system, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love theater, period, but I just wanted to venture out a little bit more with counseling to be able to reach all of the students as opposed to just the few students that I had in my classes.
Mm-hmm. And how long ago did you make the decision to move from teacher to school counselor?
Well, I started in 97. Teaching theater, and I did that up until 2007. So, I've been school counselor, since 2007, and I've moved. I'm in a K-8 school, so it's a kindergarten through eighth grade, which is very odd. It's actually a K-5 pre-K school through eighth grade. So it's very different, non-traditional type of school, but it gives me that opportunity to be able to work hands-on with our small children, up to their adolescent years. So, and watch them grow and mature. And sometimes it's such an amazing thing because we watch some of these babies go from being students who might have some serious major behavior issues to mature and being that student who can talk to our younger kids.
Right.
So to watch them grow academically and watch them grow socially and just mature is sometimes like one of the most amazing rewards ever.
I've taught in a K through 8 school, so I can attest to what you're talking about and seeing the kids grow over time. Some more than others, because everybody's different. But
right.
At your school, is it the teachers refer students to you for counseling? Is that how it works where you are? Or?
It's different. It comes, it's different, a variety, because we have our students that are referred. Teachers might refer students for whether social or maybe some students just need some type of counseling on being prepared for class. So it could be, you know, test taking strategies or maybe some issues going on, peer pressure. A lot of students really will come on their own and talk to me. Mm. I have that rapport with my students. So I always have an open door communication. It doesn't matter if I'm in there doing, my desk is piled up with a bunch of paperwork. I always try to make sure that if I see a student and they, you know, I need to talk to you. I always make sure that I push whatever I'm doing aside to deal with my students first, because that's why I'm there, for my kids.
Mm-hmm. So
it's a variety. you know, I try to make myself accessible to every child. I mainly work with the 6th through 8th grade, but we oversee, we have 671 babies. So any child that needs me, I make myself accessible to them. You know, we work as a team, so I never try to be too busy.
Right, definitely. The kids need, if they're there coming to you for help, you definitely want to be available. And so you mentioned bullying. Is that one of the issues that comes up a lot with that grade 6 through 8 population, is bullying or peer pressure type issues?
We're at a school that's in a very, very quiet country. It's a very quiet town. And so we're fortunate not to have a lot of bullying issues. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but we're...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay,
I
lost you. Okay. All right. We have a school where it's right in the center of woods. And so these students are not bad kids at all. There's not a mall or a shopping center at all. You know, they have sports in like the little major town, but it's not a whole lot for these children to get into, not what I'm used to in when I worked as a teacher in Columbia, which is
urban
a pretty big city. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
we
don't see a lot of bullying. We do have students who complain about a lot of social media. I mean, girls will be mean at times, and our boys will. I mean, you got your jealous ones every now and then. But they're so small that I can handle it. They're easy to handle, easy to get the kids to befriend each other, communicate and talk to one another. And a lot of times that's my main goal, to get everybody in. And we're going to all group hug. I don't care how mad anybody is in my office. We're going to all group hug before you walk out. And it doesn't fix every problem, but it actually helps. But sometimes these kids just want to hug. They just want somebody to listen to them. So that's a large portion of my time is spent just listening and processing the information, asking questions later, but just kind of trying to fix whatever is going on at that very moment.
And do you notice any mental health issues with the children, even the very young children? And I ask that question because I noticed a lot of mental health issues with the students that I worked with, even the first graders. So just wondering if that's been a concern with you as well.
I think mental health is an issue that's is populated around the states. We have, I do see sometimes with younger children who say they're stressed out, you know, and sometimes the stories that we hear is enough to make you think that maybe she really is stressed. I mean, we have children who are taking care, you know, first or second grader, who can actually get her pre-K child off the sibling off of the bus, help them get washed up, help them do homework, because they might be living with a grandparent. And for her, she feels like she has to do it, but she's stressed out from it, you know.
Right.
Up to my middle-aged kids, where it's more about fitting in. I don't fit in. I'm not as smart as the other friends in my class. And we try not to separate the students. Like one time before, we had like a gifted class, and then you have your general ed students. So mm-hmm. when we transition those kids into all general ed classes, unless they're going over to, we have this program called the Honors Academy. So it's new. So those kids mm-hmm. are actually away from the students, but then they transition back into general ed. You do have a lot of students that can become stressed out or frustrated, for lack of better words. They become a little frustrated because they feel like they're not as competitive academically.
Mm-hmm.
And then I talk to them before I do any type of referral, because we actually have mental health based counselors in our schools. We have a behavioral health specialist in our school. So that's been helpful. And we also have a district psychologist. So there's four of us working it, four of us. And, you know, school counselors aren't therapeutic, but when we have to unify and make, try to get to the bottom of what's really going on, is it anxiety, is it depression? Yeah, we all work together, myself, the mental health counselor, the behavioral health specialist, and the school psychologist.
So there are four of you at your the one school site?
We have, I'm in a small district, so there's three schools, two K-8 schools and one high school. And we're sharing, the mental health counselor is with us every day, and our behavioral health specialist is between the two schools,
mm-hmm.
and then our school psychologist works all three. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I've never been in a school that has a counselor, social worker. If I did, it was part-time, and it was only maybe one day they would show up for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing that your students have access to those services, because they are so important. People don't realize.
It is.
So
especially.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, especially with, because a lot of these kids actually, we don't know what's going on in homes. Mm-hmm. And they just feel like they need an outlet. Like I said, it's two of us. There's elementary school counselor, and there's me. I have the 6th through 8th. She deals with the 5th and through pre-K school students. And a lot of these kids just really, they just really want somebody just to communicate with them. And you know, our first line is, if you're not hurting someone else or you're not harming yourself, then it's confidential. You know, you can tell us anything. And by law, we have to abide by that. So if I'm busy, which very rare, I'm going to tell a child that I'm busy. Then they have that opportunity to go to one of the other counselors. But I try to make, like I said, I try to make sure that I'm available for all of my students. And then mm-hmm. if I need to direct them to a higher level, then I do.
And you mentioned the different tracks and how some students feel that they may not fit in. Do you think sometimes I wonder if students didn't know, if all the students thought they were in an honors class, you know, would they all rise to the occasion? Because if you're in the general ed class, but you know that, oh, there's the Honors Academy over there, or there's the AP class over there, but if everyone thought that their class was AP or was honors, would everybody rise to the occasion? You know what I mean? I've also been wondering if we didn't label.
I like that. I think that would make a difference, wouldn't it? Unfortunately, you will have those students who are academically challenged, though.
Right.
I think, again, we're blessed because we have students who our kids just kind of put forth an effort. We have a great school. We have a great school. I just got to brag about my school. We just have such a great school where our teachers, although we might not have an after-school program yet, the teachers will stay and help kids, or they'll come in. One teacher might stay in during a lunch or recess or break, and they may help that student. So, and we have enrichment time, too. So those students are getting the extra help that they need before class even start. Enrichment, they're reading. A lot of teachers make themselves available to assist with any homework errors. So it gives the kids an opportunity to have some kind of extra help. And then we also have our peer tutors. Those are my higher academic achieving kids, mostly the Honors Academy, which consists of 7th and 8th grade. So those kids are actually coming in and working with those students who are asking for help. You know, it's early in the year, Ms. Wimberg, I'm really not understanding this. Are you willing to come in during enrichment time, or you want to give up a part of your recess to sit down? And one of the students will help you. So they're really, really good about wanting to help each other succeed. And my drive to work is actually about 40 minutes. I just don't mind. I've been doing it now, so this is going to be almost 15 years. I love it. I love
it. Wow. That's good to hear. That's really good to hear. And is this, it's a regular K through 8 school?
It's a public school, but we do have the Montessori programs within the school. So we have pre-K, and then we have our elementary, and then we also have the, I think it goes up to 6th grade Montessori, and then the students transition into either a regular ed class, or they, if they're eligible to participate in the Honors Academy, then we give them that option to do so. So, which is really, really good because they'll be able to come out with their, they're getting Algebra 1, they're getting English 1, high school credits. They're getting a computer course.
Wow.
They're getting Spanish 1 and Spanish 2. And then the next year they'll get, you know, the geometry. So they can actually, with about 8 high school credits when they leave my school.
Wow. Yeah, that is good. Yeah, because usually foreign, I took Spanish in middle school. So, yeah, that's true. Foreign languages in middle school. That's amazing. I love to hear about schools doing so well and having resources for all of the students. I did have a question about the Calicus evaluator. What is Calicus? And what does that mean that you're an evaluator for the state?
So it's called a Calicus assessment. You actually have two. You have a Calicus assessment and you have the Locus assessment. Before clients can actually receive services for mental health, for behavior health, we have to do an assessment on each client. You pretty much just determine that they require the services. They have to be eligible for services. You know, you can't just say, if you have an LPC, you got a company and you want this child to be yours, because I think throughout the state, people have been inventing clients. So I think there's about 50 of us in South Carolina that have to approve clients just to make sure that there is an actual client and that they there's a need for services. So we scale, we score them, and then we bill them, bill Medicaid, if the client's eligible. So I've been doing that since 2013. And the company that I'm with now, which it's almost a full-time job. Because I work the South Carolina State, So I don't have to see clients in person, but I do have to see them visually, you know, whether it's through our Zoom accounts or our computer accounts. I have to see them and ask a few questions and determine just to make sure that they have a need for mental health or behavior health services.
Got it. And when you're counseling students, do you notice your theater background come out or acting skills in terms of communicating with students?
Yes. You know, I have to remind students a lot of times, and more so with my seventh and eighth grade, that I'm different. I'm not the traditional counselor. You know, I do, you know, I perform poetry. I'm a spoken word artist. Every now and then I'll do a poem for a child, and I let them know that that's my, yeah, I have my education poem. That's my my sanctuary there, you know, in helping them to deal with a lot of the issues that they're kind of going through. I tell them sometimes you just have to find your sanctuary, your peace of mind. I try the traditional, you know, here your notebook, write journal. Sometimes that could be a disaster because kids will write, but it's what they're writing and then who finds out what they're writing. So I'm not big on journals. I tell my students if they have to write at home. As soon as they get home, you write. Before you come to school, you write. At night before you go to bed, whenever you're feeling some type of emotional distress, then you write. But don't bring that book to school. Please don't bring your book to school.
Right. Mandated reporters, right?
Right. Oh, gosh. Yeah. He say, she say, I don't like. So I tell them not to do that. But I also tell them how I perform. I love being someone different. It gives me an opportunity to just get out of being Peggy sometimes, you know, and it's okay because, you know, when they're feeling down or they're frustrated or they're angry or they're mad, I tell them we're humans, you know, we're all going to have those feelings. It's who we are, but to find some type of outlook, what is it you like to do? I love poetry. I love theater. Whenever I want to get away from the outside world, I drain myself into poetry. I write, I perform, I go to a spoken word show just so I can hear poetry, or I try to, we did a little skit one time before, and the kids love that. So you take the kids who have behavior issues and you give them a few lines and they'll perform for the smaller kids, and you wouldn't believe how much that changes the child because they're looking forward to, you can actually use that to as an incentive. You know, if you continue to do well, you get to have this part, and we're going to perform for the first grade and second grade and third grade. And them getting that applause, which is something they probably never got, you know. I actually had one student to graduate from the magnet school, South Carolina Governor School for the Arts, and so proud of him. It wasn't that he was a bad kid or anything. Actually, he had a very good parent who we started when he was little, and he was like, I think he loved theater because I love theater. I'm just going to take that credit for that one. And
yes.
he moved with it. We were always sending our kids off to different, I'm always looking for something to send kids to, whether it's the summer program for the South Carolina Governor School for the Arts or the Arts Consortium. My background is theater, so that changes a whole child's life when they become involved in the arts, and they see that it's not just in the school, that you can do so many different things with it. So many people have made money from it. People get rich off it. People enjoy working because it's their love for the art, their passion for the art. So I try to incorporate that into a lot of role-playing situations. Mm-hmm. Two girls might come in, they're arguing. Simple fix, but I want them to understand how we got to this point and how it shouldn't happen. So you role-play, you be her and you be her, you know. and I want you to hear each other, or you be the mom and you be the child, and I want you to see how this can affect your child, you know? So I try to incorporate my theater aspects into my counseling techniques. It works.
It seems effective. Yeah, it does. And like you said, the students get to hear each other when they switch roles, or they get to hear what the other person was trying to say or how they felt, which is important. Because sometimes you see that, you know, there was a misunderstanding that was blown way out of proportion that wasn't even that serious. So, that's awesome. We are going to take a quick commercial break, but after the break, I do want to continue to hear you talk about arts education, because I think that's really important, in today's society. So we'll take a quick break.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Stacey Matt-Clam. I am the author of School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching. I wrote this book last summer after I resigned from the teaching profession. Writing the book was therapeutic for me. In the book, I discuss why I left the teaching profession. I also discuss trauma and mental health concerns that many students, especially very young students, endure. Finally, I discuss teacher trauma, also known as secondary traumatic stress. This book is not just for educators. It's for anyone who has walked away from something that was not serving them. I am realizing now that my path in education is outside of the classroom. Check out my book, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, on Amazon in digital and paperback format, or go to my website at www.stacymatclam.com. Again, that's www.stacymcclam.com. You can find me on all social media platforms at Stacey Matt-Clam. Thank you.
Hi, we're back, and I'm Stacey Matt-Clam, your host of Teacher Talks Season 2 with my guest, Dr. Peggy Logan. Dr. Logan is an educator, poet, actress, and school counselor. So before we took a break, Dr. Logan was talking about arts education, and I'm interested to know why you think arts education is important.
It's definitely essential because I think it motivates children, their attitudes, their whole attendance. Like I said, they actually look forward to coming to school sometimes. The program that we have with the Auntie Karen's Foundation, you take a group of students who have never had theater before. You bring them in. I think one of the plays we did was an adaptation to Annie. And this is before the recent movie came out with Annie. We did almost like a little dance routine. We had a little song to go to it. You incorporate a little hip-hop, Jay-Z, Hard Knock Life, and just have the kids do a little dance. But then you give them some lines to learn. Those kids that came in and said, man, I don't really want to do this. I don't like memorizing lines. They were like, can you see if the principal will let you come back and teach? So, you know, they want to do it, and they actually do well in their classroom because they want to be a part of the theater. And I do use that. You know, if you can't learn if you can't do your assignments and study your test, I will help you study. But it's going to teach you how to help you pass tests, because it's going to teach you to memorize and retain the information, because what you're learning tonight, these lines that you're learning tonight, we're going to probably be doing those same lines in a month or two. So you're going to have to learn it, retain it, and then perform it, give it back to us. So the kids look so forward to it, and it's one way that it helped me. It definitely helped me growing up. My mom had me on stage early. I had to memorize songs. We had to, every little something that was in church, she had me up there performing. So I try to tell my students it is with theater, with the arts period. anything that you get, it's going to, whether it's learning to play an instrument, you have to memorize those notes. You have to learn it, memorize, learn, retain, and give it back, you know. And it'll be easy. If you can do it with these arts, you'll see how easy it'll come with words. So that's what we focus on when it comes to helping the kids kind of combine and just collaborating the arts and academics together, because it's teaching you so much more. There's so many benefits. The students are succeeding in school. They're succeeding in life. Like I said, you know, my one student decided he wanted to go on and pursue acting as a career. Those are the students that when they say, "Miss Winburn, I want to be an actress." Like, come here, let me talk. Let's talk.
Right.
Let's find some scholarships. I'm a scholarship fanatic. I'm looking up scholarships all the time. But you say arts, that means, okay, we need to start early. Like, we need to get you into the Governor's School for the Arts, which is a 2-week program, just so you can get, we need to get you to the consortium. But I will work with students all day when it comes to art.
Wow. Yeah, I heard you say that your mom had you in theater classes when you were young. That's really good that she must have, you know, notice something about you and your performing skills. Because some parents, you know, may not notice, or maybe some schools don't have those opportunities. So unfortunately, some kids don't get those opportunities. But it, you know, I think because everybody's so different and schools are more so traditional, and we need more arts programs and not, you know, there's, of course, art classes that some schools have. Some schools don't even have those, but more than just, you know, physical art, which is good, but other kinds of arts like theater, performing arts as well, because people express themselves differently. So that's awesome. And I know the students really appreciate that and come alive, and it does help their learning. Like you said, they retain information, they can recite, you know, learn lines. So if you can learn lines, you can learn, you know, the material that the teacher is teaching you as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
And that's what we try to find out.
Mm-hmm. And the teachers, yep, must talk about this at your school, with arts education is incorporated into the model of the school, I guess.
Yeah, we right now we have a very strong, well, we have chorus. The kids were so excited about chorus. We have a lot of new educators this year. But we're trying to bring in, you know, there's grant money. The 21st Century Grant, which is a phenomenal grant, because it does incorporate the arts during the summer, too. That's what I'm hoping to get, a program where we can have an enrichment program incorporated through the academics. So while the kids, whether you're there for summer school or whether you're there for just to learn a little bit more, get a little bit more out of what you might have missed in school, you still have that time to get some performing arts enrichment, dance, drama, cooking, scrapbooking, drums, band. You know, I want that. Before I leave this school, before I retire, I want to see that program embedded into the school system, where it's a year-round program from the school year throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it makes for a well-rounded person just to be exposed to all of those different ideas and opportunities and ways to express yourself. I really wish more. I remember when I taught fourth grade, I had a student, and I remember distinctly thinking, this poor girl, like, she feels stuck, is what I you know, kept saying in my head. So I tried to let her perform as much as I could in, you know, our traditional classroom and have the kids get up and move. But I felt like if, in the future, like in fifth grade and other classes, she's not gonna do well, because I know how she is, and she has to perform. That's just how she is. And mm-hmm. I just remember feeling she feels trapped. Like, it was so obvious, and it wasn't, it, you know, it was just her. It's nothing she could
right.
do about it. That's who she is. Right. So I just thought, wow, we really need to help more kids because not everybody's the same.
Right. And I think one of the reasons I'm passionate about the arts and involving education is I don't think I would have even gone to college. I'm saying that because I know my mom would have made me go some type of way, but I had the one teacher that said, because we did not have a drama program. We would have programs in the school, and my mother would say, if it's a talent show or some type of oratorical contest, my mother would make me do it. Regardless of whether I wanted to or not, you're going to do it. And I watched my aunt. I had an aunt who was into theater at the college that I, you know, eventually went to at Claflin. So, but they had a program at Claflin, and the teacher came to me, Ms. Levy. She says to me, you know, Peggy, I think you'll be good if you can audition for a humanities festival. I had no clue what a humanities festival was, but the fact that he took the time, worked with me, and then took me to the Humanities Festival, and I walked out with a scholarship, was the reason I actually went to college. So I want to do that.
Oh, really?
Same.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how I got my scholarship at Claflin. And we didn't have a major at Claflin, but we had a minor. I was able to minor in theater. So I knew I was going to, this is what I want to do. I want to teach theater. I'm going to teach theater, and I did. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I acted, did a couple of little small movie parts and some lots of plays, and that's what I wanted my kids to be able to see. I wanted to be able to take kids to different plays, a live play, different types. You know, it's not just some kids don't know how to sing. I'm not one of those persons that will get a singing part. But if it's a play, I mean, I can pretend like I can sing, and that's what I was teaching. You don't have to be a singer in the play. You don't have to be an actor in this play. You can do the set. You can build a set. You can help me with the flyers for it. So there's just different aspects, and you give me a student, give me a classroom full of students. We're going to learn, and I'm going to keep every child. I'm not letting any of my kids walk out. You like to draw? Come on, we're gonna draw the set that you want me to try to get built, and we're going to build it. So, you know, I think every child can learn. I always have the hope that every teacher is walking into their classroom saying that every child will learn in my classroom. You know, we don't have any underachievers in here. We have a learner in every class, in every seat. So anything we can help our teachers to do, we're doing it. But I don't know if we have great teachers or if we have great students, but the scores speak for themselves. The students are working hard. And when they don't understand, they at least have the common respect to say, hey, I don't understand. Because you have a lot of kids that won't say it. You know, I don't understand. I don't want to raise my hand. It's embarrassing. But a lot of our kids will come to me. They can, like I said, they can email a teacher. They can slip a note under the door. If you're not comfortable with me helping you, then I'm going to get a student who can help you. A Spanish-speaking kid came in. We got a little girl who speaks fluent Spanish. Are you comfortable with her? And they understand each other, and they work well, you know? So we try to help all of our students the best of our ability because we want everyone to be successful, you know?
I love it. I love it. Wow. It's amazing to hear. I don't know. I know a lot of educators, and I don't know many that have a setup that sounds like yours. It seems like a very nice place, definitely with resources. So that's amazing. I'm interested in your theater days. I know you talked about the plays you were in and in college you performing, but you got the scholarship, but what internally did
theater do for you? Why did you continue it, and why do you think you had have a passion for it? Was it from performing at a young age, or you just think you were born, you know, to perform?
I think I'm I challenge. I don't know if I've been like that since I've been young, but I challenge myself sometimes. It wasn't just that I can memorize easily, so easily. I think with my sister, at some point, it was just competitive because my sister could actually sing and I couldn't. So I needed to be great at something too. So when I realized that I could memorize real easy, I'm memorizing everybody's line the next day. I want to know the whole play, and I want to pick the part that I want, even if it's a man's part, I want it. So just because I just want to see if I could do it. So I challenged myself a lot. And like I said, I was very shy, very quiet, very timid. I came from New York, so coming into the South, like I said, the only thing that I felt at times that I was so such a skinny little person. Theater was just it, memorizing things and performing it. And like I said, I had my aunt here in New York. I had my mom here. I had my sister singing. I wanted to be able to be great at something. And for me, it was public speaking. So I think it was just the drive. And you see it on TV. I'm just as good as she is. That was just me all throughout high school, all throughout college. And I wanted other kids who might have felt like they were just that one person with no voice sitting in the back. You matter in here. You know, you might be struggling. You might have straight F's in your other class, but in here, we're going to work to get this A. You don't have to. I'm not going to make you get up there and speak at all. If you're good at something that involves theater, drawing, building, we're going to find what that is, and we're going to work toward that. And you may even like it so much where you may actually make it a career. So I think I wanted to be that person that I was, and someone got it and pulled it out. So I'm pulling stuff out of these kids when I was teaching theater. I was pulling it out. We would do praise dances, and moms tell stories behind it. And if you didn't like to get up there and act, but you like to dance, you're part of the praise dance team. So I've always been blessed with great principals. So they allowed me to kind of, you know, there was no outline or no type of standards. There was theater standards, but there was no book to say this is how you teach theater. You just really had to do it because you enjoy doing it. And I did. So take them to a play, take them to a performance. We go to Myrtle Beach to see shows, then riding people riding horses to actually kids performing, to kids play, to adults performing. And I gave it an outlet. Then I had a little twist on it. Let's write about how we're feeling, what we're going through, make it a monologue, and then we would take that monologue and turn it into a spoken word poem and make it a competition or make it. So I think I drained myself out as a theater teacher because it was just so much you could do with it, and so much, you know, you can get kids to love it. And still I have kids now that will email me. One of my teachers just email. She's a teacher now at Allen University, and she's like, thank you so much. She's a coach there. She's a volleyball coach. She's like, thank you so much. And that makes me feel good that you remember when I did that? She was like, you were my favorite. So I enjoy everything from the theater aspect to scholarship searching to helping students. Motivating them, encouraging them, pushing them, and I will push you because we have stubborn kids. We have some kids who just, I don't really want to be here, and you can't make me. Oh no, we gonna have fun with this. You're gonna want to come by the time I'm done with you. You're gonna want to come, you know.
Right, and like you said, there's so many different aspects in theater. Things that people can do, whether it's building or writing or drawing, like you said. And now that I'm into filmmaking, I see that in the entertainment industry. There's so many jobs I never even knew about, and jobs in front of the camera and behind the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, wow, I wish students knew about all of this. I had no idea. And there's a million jobs behind the camera, literally. And, yeah, it's amazing that anyone's personality or whatever multiple intelligence they have that thrives the most, you can find that somewhere in the entertainment industry. So it's interesting. So I want to go back to kind of tie in the mental health piece with the students and how maybe what teachers can do going forward if they notice mental health issues. I mean, beyond referring students to the counselor, is there anything you can think of that they can do in the classroom? Maybe different classroom management strategies. I know you talked about role playing. Is there anything else you can think of that educators might find helpful?
Well, I tell the teachers this all the time. You have to, you're there with these students for a whole year. You have to learn mm-hmm. who your child is. You have to, you know, it's kind of like a give and take. You really have to be willing to give yourself to the student a little bit past the teaching phase. You know, I can tell sometimes what students need a little nurturing. You're going to have to embrace this child a little bit. Just let them know you care, and he'll work mm-hmm. hardest for you. They're pretty good with moving students, you know, placing them in different ways. We have a wonderful team leader who will write out different types of strategies. We do different things. You see that a child is constantly making noise when he finishes work. He just kind of tapping and making noise, maybe taking a pen and rubbing it on the Chromebook top, just making noise, agitating the other students. Let's try to move him in a different way. Let's give him a squeezy ball, something, you know, watch him. He may throw it, he may not, but let's try different things before we just quickly write students up, because there's a lack of attention there, lack of attention span. He may be fidgeting, can't sit down. Allow him to come to my room, or allow him to get up, ask him to go get some water, use the bathroom, or just walk down the hallway. Just let him get it out, you know, for a minute. You might have students who take longer. They might be frustrated when they're working, some type of anxiety, test anxiety. We do get to see a lot of students who stress out about taking tests. They know the material, but they become someone finished faster than they did, or everyone finished and they're still working, so they're looking around really, really frustrated. That may be test anxiety. Allow them to come work in a quiet space. You know, let's try that and see if that way he's not focused on what everybody else is doing, because we don't know what's going on in our children's heads. But if we learn the child and see their ways, especially if we're all seeing some of the same issues, we'll come together and meet as a team with the child to try to find out what we can do differently. What do you think will help you to be better? And a lot of times the kids will tell you, well, after I finish working, I just can't sit still. So after you finish working, I'm going to send you down and see if Ms. Wittenberg has some stuff for you to do. Or maybe you can go to the library, find a book that you like to read, or maybe you can talk to the mental health counselor. She's willing to talk to almost anybody. So we try to come up with different strategies to help kids, because we never know what's really going on in their heads. And a lot of times, if they're good kids, they just have small concerns going on. School, you know, I can do, I'll come in and kind of observe. The principal, she'll go in sometimes, she'll observe. The nurse, we all kind of work together to try to see how we can help a child before we start zeroing them out and writing them up. Let's see what we can do to try to figure out what's going on. We can't diagnose every child and say, well, she has some mental stuff going on. Child could have just not eaten at night, hadn't eaten all day. hadn't slept all night. You know, we get all kinds of stories. Mom got arrested last night. They were fighting. And they hear this child is in class trying to work, and he's crying or she's crying, and no one knows what's going on, and he's not willing to talk. Well, let's find something different. You know, it's not going to make this child any less if they miss one day in your class. We need to try to figure out what's going on. So I have a great group of educators that's always willing to work with me and the principals in trying to help a child, trying to figure out what's going on. They're very concerned about our kids. They love working with the kids. They're passionate about helping students be successful. So that's what I have been blessed with, which is why I'm still there.
I can see why. I can see why that is a blessing. Well, Dr. Logan, we have 5 minutes left on the show. Do you have any spoken word poetry events coming up?
We do. We have a spoken word. We have a poetry. We have a poetry every third Sunday. So this is a Sunday that we're having it here in Columbia. And I'm probably going to hit the mic and do a little spoken word. Just because I hadn't done it in about 2 weeks. I need to do it at least twice, about twice a week, because I am kind of bombarded with school. And like I said, I come home and I'm doing cal opuses. So poetry is my release. And we have some women empowerment events coming up. I love women empowerment stuff. I love shelters. I love prisons, DJJ. Anything I can kind of go and touch a word and touch somebody's heart, make a difference, let people know that we're human. But we've been through the fire. We just don't smell like smoke because we kept climbing. You know, we keep climbing.
Right. Is there any social media that our listeners can contact you or follow you at?
Yes, I'm on Facebook as Peggy Logan.
Okay.
If you Tabu Hazel, TABUHAZEL. Tabu Hazel is the stage name. Literally, you can find me on pretty much everything, Instagram, Twitter. But mostly I use Facebook as my media platform. Try to keep it very, very positive. I know some of my students are looking and watching, so I try to keep my page very positive. I put all my shows up there, anywhere I'm going. We just finished a film, which was The Last Supper, which was so powerful, very powerful film that they did about the 12 most influential women in South Carolina. Oh, that thing was powerful. But so I try to put everything on my page, and the Peggy Logan or Tabu Hazel.
Okay, and it has information on how we can see the film?
I think we're gonna post that little film up soon, but there are some other, like, I do domestic violence stuff. My heart, domestic violence, child abuse awareness. Like I said, if you type in Peggy Logan, you can pretty much find me on YouTube or videos on Facebook. So,
okay,
a lot of my poetry is there as well.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed this. I've enjoyed talking to you. I appreciate it.
Yes.
Very honest.
We appreciate it. Continue to do the hard work, but I know it's enjoyable for you, and it's definitely meaningful. So thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, well, have a good rest of the week, and, of course, good school year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can't stop my shine. This class is all mine. Gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today. Sporting backpacks and they're on their way. Oh, trying to learn the things we like.
Going to my class, everything's alright. Oh, no one as smart as you, no one as cold as you. No, whatever grade level or type of school, my class is gonna rule. Yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together. Yeah, you know I got my act together. I'm shaping students that'll shape forever. The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse.
Singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride. Gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, you're opening up the minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I run my class like I know I should.
I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood.
I thought you understood. I'm the difference in my class for the greater good. Yeah.
Getting my class to spread the wind.
Being at school makes me wanna sing. Oh,
oh yeah, 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 yeah.
We can change the world together. Teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever. I think it's time we change the weather.
We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future, and the future's gaining speed.
If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed.
And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is on time,
gotta open up their eyes. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Teacher, I'm a teacher. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses,
and we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. You're jumping in my ride. Gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine.
Oh, class is online.
Gonna open up the minds.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher, let me see the way you shine.
Oh,